Do y'all know what an octogenarian is? Who knows what an octogenarian is? What's an octogenarian? Yes. And we have someone in our congregation that is going to reach that age tomorrow. Would you escort this person up front here, please? Stand back here so they can see you. Now, tomorrow is Donna / Masako's 80th birthday.
Thank you. No money at all. Thank you in Japanese.
All right. We've had several people that were celebrating the event, and they've sent me some scriptures, and I just want to read a couple of these to you. These come from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. It says, "An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels." And then the latter part of that chapter it says, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her great works praise her in the gates." This young lady standing beside me has been a praise to the Lord in my life for a long time. I've known her since I was a teenager. And she has been a blessing. That's been a while. Thank you, Peanut Gallery. Yes, you can't get out, can you? You just can't stand it. And when we came to plant the church, when Audrey and I moved to Savannah to plant the church, God had put Donald Lindell on my heart. I went to see her, and she told me, "I want to be a part of it." And she has definitely been a part of it, hasn't she? She has been a blessing to all of us. So I want to give you a chance to say something.
Well, I just don't know what to say. I usually don't have any trouble talking. This last almost, 17, 18 years, then it's a quite a ride. And I just thank God for every minute of it. 19 years ago, my husband went to be with the Lord. And, well, he didn't have to put up with the old age because he was only 59. But anyway, God has blessed me with everything. And I just don't know how I did it without Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit encouraging me. And then I know I'm a slow learner, and God hasn't given up on me. And I just want you all to just hang in there, just focus on God, and then you're going to make it, okay? And the things are not bright, maybe not now, but it is, okay? God is in control. Thank you very much. I love you as my church family, And I'm just the best place in the world right here, right now. Thank you.
Well, before you go, I'm going to pray over you. And thank you. Lord, this woman who belongs to you, I thank you that the doors of that building were open in her homeland. And she heard the gospel. She saw the joy of Jesus on people's faces and in their actions. And you drew her to yourself sovereignly. And Lord, she got to meet Dick. And Lord, you brought them together and gave them wonderful children. And Lord, now grandchildren. God, I thank you for Dick and for his love of the Lord. And Lord, for watching over Donna all these years. Lord, we bless you for the gift that she is to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. We've got a video we want you to see. This is WSAV, John.
All right, football season's winding down. It's our usually Tuesday fun. Now center stage on Wednesdays instead.
Yeah, Ken's in now with Slat Superstars to help brighten our week and get us over that hump toward the weekend.
Nothing but fun. We got it going for you. All right, we're going to start on the diamond. For nearly a decade, scores of youngsters attend Sycamore at the stadium. It is a free two-day camp geared toward baseball, faith, and fun. It's a real hit for these little leaguers on the big stage in this week's Slat Superstars.
Slat Superstars is brought to you by Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Truly, the field of dreams starts with a simple bat and a ball. Jason Rockwell and his Sycamore team are making sure young kids in our area get the chance for this dream.
Hopefully, we're making some kind of an impact that's positive in these children's lives.
It sure is fun for these preteens.
My brother and my brother's best friend is, so I guess I'd try it out too.
John and the crew batting, bunting, and winding it up.
You might want to back up. I'm not worried.
I need
a
backup for that.
So it's not all smooth sailing at Grayson Stadium, but maybe the biggest hit coming from the caged-in kids.
Your chest up just a little bit, right there.
Hey, it's Major Leaguer Daniel Murphy from the New York Mets.
Come out here and see the joy that these guys get out of it. It makes it all worthwhile.
He has a passion for hitting, and it shows. So he's here to share some of those secrets.
They're secrets, and you're in on it. So mark it down and run with it.
Run through the bag, run through the bag, best you can.
I'm sure they heard the overall message delivered from the fine folks at Sycamore. Truly a shining moment on the diamond in this week's
camp that continues to grow each and every year. 9 years now. It's a free camp. That's the best. Make sure you get in on it next year.
How cool to have a major leaguer in there. Exactly.
They've had one almost every each year that they've had the camp. They bring in some major leaguers.
Not bad.
Okay, we've got one more 42-second clip we're going to play, but you want to introduce this clip?
Yeah, just real quick. This is, you know, so many times we do stuff and we don't know if, are we doing any good? You know, people listening and what's happening, right? So this is just something real quick. It's a follow-up. It's from, Daniel Murphy, who was here. God has brought us together the last couple of months. It's been crazy. But anyway, I went to a conference in Orlando last week. Professional Athletes Outreach, and Daniel went. I actually showed the video in the McConnell's house. I said, come here, you got to see this. What do you think? You want to go? He's like, yeah, brother, we're going. So somehow Terry and I went. We really weren't supposed to go. We're not major league ball players, never have been. Not a major league chaplain or a triple A chaplain, but God opened the doors and we were allowed in. And Daniel had been baptized as a teenager at a camp. And if for some of you who were there and heard his story, he's hit the reset button on his life. And we can do that through Christ. You know, he said he wasn't living it. He knew the right things to say, knew how to act. But he wasn't right with God. So on Friday, the last day of the conference, they had baptisms. Didn't know this was going to happen. 2 days prior, I asked him, I said, Daniel, have you ever been baptized? Yeah, as a kid. I said, well, and he looked at me and said, yeah, brother. It didn't mean squat. So we go to this thing, and Terry and I see him coming out of the door while we were walking down to the pool, and he's got his jeans on. I said, man, I thought you'd have your bathing suit on. He said, yeah, I was thinking about it, but I want to share this moment with my mom on Sunday at my home church. I just called her and asked the pastor to get the baptismal warm for Sunday. I said, okay, that's cool. Sounds like a good idea. So the 14 people get baptized, and then another guy just walks in, takes his shoes off, walks in his jeans and his T-shirt. He said, man, my heart's beating so fast. I've felt adrenaline on the ball field, but nothing like what I'm feeling watching these people dedicate themselves and turn their life over to Christ. And then Daniel says to me, watch this, brother. Shoes off. Hands me his wallet, which I put in my back pocket and ran. Puts his cell phone down, and then this happened.
Do this one in the morning, apparently. So. I was trying to get on Sunday, and they let you fill the water up again. So it's my first time here. And I really enjoyed everything and things you guys have done, and just him. I mean, he was all over Christ. And I've been in here a couple of times. The first two didn't take, but I think this is going to be pretty good.
So let's
do it, brother.
I'm obedient. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So I just asked Dusty if I could share that with you. If you made a cookie, if you said a 10-second prayer for baseball camp, you had a part in that. You know, so there is fruit in what we do. Even if it's the smallest thing, and I just thank Jesus. I was tearing up with Masako. Thanks a lot for that. There's no crying in baseball. I got to get over this. But, you know, I just thank you for just that's all I have to say about that. Of course, Gump, I'll show up.
As we were praying for the camp this year, one of the things that Jason was praying about, Terry and I, we were praying about this. We said this year, one of the ministries was going to be to the people who came and served. And God touched Daniel Murphy's heart while he was here. And second baseman for the New York Mets. And what a blessing. Okay, children, you may go now. Next Sunday, you need to put it on your calendar to be here. Invite everybody you know to be here for our annual Christmas play. It is going to be fantastic. That's all I've got to say about that. 11 o'clock next week. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to Luke, the second chapter? And while you're turning there, today is the third Sunday of our Advent season. Advent means coming. As we celebrate the first coming of the Lord, and our first Sunday of Advent, we lighted the prophecy candle, and we read those prophecies, many thousands of them, prophesying the coming of Jesus the first time. And then last Sunday was the second Sunday, and we light the angel candle, the messengers. Angels are all over the story of the first coming of Jesus. And today we light this candle. It's different. It's pink. It's a celebration color. And the candle that we light today is the shepherd's candle. And I want to read to you the passage about the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and to Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. Why would the announcement come to shepherds? Why would God do that? We see in the story all different, the different characters of the story. That's why we light these candles. That's why we tell the story of the first advent, this miraculous thing that angels actually come and speak to the lowly shepherds. There they are. They're kind of at the bottom of the food chain, if you will, in society of that day. But God brought a special message to them. You see, Jesus has always been for the down and out, the up and out, and the over and out. He is for everyone. And here's a specific example of Him coming. That's why you may think today, things are difficult for me. God is not mindful of me. I want you to know, God is mindful of your situation right where you are. He's been reading your mail before you even existed, before you were even a twinkle in your daddy's eye. He knew His plan for you. The Scripture says that the glory of the Lord shone upon them. Can you imagine the glory of God? Think of all the examples in Scripture of the glory of God. Imagine Moses coming down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments. His countenance shone around him. There was a brightness about him. We see examples as you read the story of the children of Israel. They're wandering in the wilderness there in the tabernacle, and the glory of God came. You see Isaiah speaking of that brightness of the countenance over and over and over again. The glory of God. So the glory of God, the same glory of God that we associate with Moses, was there with the shepherds. Lest you think the story is not for you. He reserves the best for all of us. And how can He reserve the best for all of us? He's God. He can do it. His presence and His power are for you. Isaiah chapter 40. I wanted to read this to you very, very quickly. One of the prophetic scriptures that we read, "Comfort, O comfort my people," says the Lord. "Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Call out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity has been removed. She has received the Lord's hand, double of all her sins. A voice is calling, a clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth the paths in the desert." Here's a prophecy about John the Baptizer. "The highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. And then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Here, there, those prophetic scriptures, we read a few of them on that first Sunday of Advent. God's glory. He said in the story, "I will bring you good news of a great joy which shall be to all the people." God writes at the bottom of every invitation, "All are welcome." I remember hearing this preacher out of Dallas, Texas, when I'd listen to these sermons when I was just a kid. My dad had them on reel to reel. A fellow by the name of W.A. Criswell, Wally Amos Criswell. And he used to say, "The gospel is for somebody. Somebody you. Somebody you." When I hear someone say, "Christmas is for children," I say, "Yes, and I'm a child. I'm a child of God." The wonder, the excitement, the very base of that is that God became a man. Jesus came in the flesh. All people, all may come. He said in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The city of David. What city is that? What was David's city? Where did Samuel go when he was searching for the next king of Israel? Where did he go? He went to the region of Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse. And in Jesse had other sons that were taller, sons that were older. But he goes through all of them and he finds this guy, David. David, you know the story of David. What a beautiful story it is. Jesus came through that line. And if you want to read the story, the lineage is there in the scripture. Three of the four gospels talk about his lineage. Matthew and Luke go through his earthly lineage, and then John goes through his heavenly lineage. You know, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling upon us. So, very important to God. A Savior. One who would save His people. What does the name Yeshua mean? Savior. The one who would save His people. Save who? All who need to be saved. Who needs to be saved? All who have sinned. And who have sinned? That's what the Scripture says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Later on, Micah would speak in chapter 5, verse 2, about the Savior coming out of Bethlehem. Remember when the Magi come to Jerusalem and they talk to Herod. What do the scribes and the teachers of the law, those chief priests, where do they search to see where the king would come from? They search this book. And what do they come up with? He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. So out of you, unto you is born this day. They knew the Messiah was going to be. That's what Christ, the Greek word Christ, is the translation, the equivalent of the Hebrew concept of Messiah. Messiah would come. One who is born for you, unto you is born this day. You see, if there were no one else in the earth, the Messiah would have come for you. That's how much God loves you. You parents who have more than one child, do you love one child more than you do the other? Now you try to explain to your children that I love you all equally. I'm not showing preference to one of you. It's really hard as a parent to share that with them, isn't it? But you know it's true in your heart. You love all of them. Yes, Logan, we love you the same. As Megan and Brandon. That's how much God loved you. Unto you is born. Imagine this. You've counted yourselves as one of the lowly people of society, and you're out in the Judean countryside. And by the way, it's not December 25th when this happens. I mean, we say that day, but we're probably looking at late summer, early fall. I think probably sometime in September. That's my opinion. I'd have to go a long way to share it. It's not later on when it gets cold because they're not going to be out there at that time. A lot of ways to triangulate all that, and I can give you 10 different theories on when it actually happened. You know, if the Lord had wanted us to know exactly what time it was, He could have put that in there. But He didn't, so we'll leave that to the speculators. Here they are out there with their sheep, and the angel appears to them. What a special invitation. Have you ever had an invitation like that? Yes, you have. Every time God comes and speaks to you, because He comes and He speaks personally to you, doesn't He? You know, there's Daniel Murphy in that video. He's all giddy. He sounds like a school child there. He's all giddy. Here's a guy that's got more money than all of us put together, and the possibility of even more than that coming his way, and all this acclaim, you know, going to place. Oh, you're Daniel Murphy. You're the superstar player in Major League Baseball. And here he is in a swimming pool with a bunch of people surrounding there, and he's stumbling over his words and all. And a couple of weeks ago, he's come down here with a bunch of folks in Savannah, Georgia, and hung out with them and been in their home and done all this stuff. And God is speaking to him personally. You remember the day when you realize, hey, God's speaking to me. He loves me. He wants me to be part of His family. Do you remember that day when that first came to you? What a blessing. Unto you a child is born. Somebody you. He said, in verse 12, this will be a sign. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, these loose cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly then, you know, as if they didn't get the hint there with the one angel, now we've got a multitude. Now, how many is a multitude? More than you can count. Imagine what that Judean sky must have looked like. There they were. And I know, I've got these narrow-eyed people, some of them that tell me, it never says in their dusty they were singing. And it doesn't. But I believe they were. Don't you, Gary? Don't you, Kenny? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. There's the gospel. What men is he pleased with? What is pleasing to God? In order to please God, it says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And there is faith shown up to the shepherds. There they are. They've heard this story about Messiah. They've heard this child is going to come. They've heard all this. They're seeing the oppression that is around them. And yet, and this God comes personally. And as if they didn't get it with the one angel, now the heavenly chorus comes. A sign for you. And then what did they say? They said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord's made known. Now, let's go to Bethlehem. How did they know where to find Jesus? Be careful now. Be careful. Some say, well, the star was that. No, the star hadn't shown up yet. That's with the Magi, and that's later the star moved over where they were. How'd they know? How'd they know? I think we're back to the glory of the Lord. Now, yes, they could have gone through the process of elimination. Bethlehem wasn't a very big place, but it was expanded by the number of people that were there because they were coming, because Quirinius had decreed that all the world should be taxed, and the roles were swelling, people were there. That's why Mary and Joseph have to stay out in the barn. there they are. But how did they know? How did they know which barn? How did they know which place? Now I'm just going to give you a speculation this is dusty speculation. I believe that same glory that was shining, I believe those medieval artists and those of the Renaissance time that were, when you see those pictures and you see the Christ child there laying in the manger, what is coming from that child? Light! The light of the world is Jesus. Now this is just dusty. This is just dusty. But I believe just as that glory, the glory of the Lord was all over Moses, was all over those in the tabernacle of days gone by, the glory of the Lord shining there on those shepherds, that glory, here is the source of that glory. God has become a man. And there he is. And they had eyes to see and ears to hear the glory of the Lord. Look what happens. They came in a hurry. They found their way. That's all the Scripture says. They found their way. You know, it's not hard to find your way in a dark night when a light's shining. This way. This way. They came and found the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all of them who heard it, oh, who's he talking about? You know what? By this time, you probably got a nice little group of people assembled there, enjoying it. Just like we're going to enjoy it this week as we reenact it right out on that front lawn, as we see the crowd celebrating the glory of God come to earth in the person of His Son, God becoming a man. They wondered about the things that were told Him, and Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. You know, she wasn't down at the local printer printing up flyers saying, oh, Jesus has been born. Jesus has been born. She was letting God speak it. There's a time to ponder. There's a time to just listen and let God fill out the story, isn't it? Western thinkers don't think that. We think you got to do something. Even if it's wrong, do something. What if she had done something? They would have missed the moment. The moment of experiencing the presence of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And lastly, what did the shepherds do? They went back. What happens to the glory? They'd seen the glory. They said, now, you got to get the verb form of glory. They went back glorifying God and praising His name. It's just like that. Remember the lame man in the book of Acts? He went walking and leaping and praising God. I imagine there was a little bit of bounce in their step for all they had seen and heard, just as it had been told them. God never promises anything that He doesn't also plan on delivering. He promised the Messiah, and He delivered the Savior of the world, Savior of your sins. He'll come wherever you are. I don't know what's going on with you today, where you've come from, what your life is like right now. I know this week, numerous times as I was praying, God just let me feel the load in prayer. And there's some of you that are going through some hard times right now. And I want you to know, the Lord is with you. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He has heard your cry. Listen to what He has to say. If you have never received Him as your Savior, crowd this size, that's likely a number of you have never really done business. You joined the church, you never joined Jesus, though. I'm encouraging you today to receive Him in your life. Let Him come in, save you, make you a new person, forgive you of your sin. Let's pray together. Lord, on this third Sunday of the celebration, we bless You. I thank You for speaking to us today. In all the ways You have spoken to us. In song, in testimony, video. I ask You, God, right now. Lord, as we open the altar, Lord, let us receive You. If you've never received Jesus in your life, I'd sure like to pray with you. You can pray a prayer with me. It goes something like this. Jesus, I need You. I've sinned. I can't save myself. I call out to You, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. Jesus, You didn't stay in the manger. You went to a cross, died there in my behalf, was buried and rose on the third day, ascended now, coming again to take us unto Yourself. Jesus, I receive You into my life, my Savior, my Lord. I'd sure like to know today if you prayed that prayer with me. The altar's open. If you would, look this way. to encourage you about a couple of things. And number one, if God puts someone on your heart to pray for them, you need to do it. I was praying early this morning, and God put the guy who followed me as pastor, one of my former churches, years ago, on my heart this morning. Strong. I was praying. I don't know why I was praying for him, but I called him up. Said, I'm praying for you today, brother, that the anointing of God will be upon you. We don't know what it's about, what God is doing. So I want to encourage you to do that in this season. And we got people that need jobs. How many people are looking for a job right now? Chanda? All right, we got people looking for a job. We need to be remembering them. This week, we have a unique opportunity of the hundreds and thousands of people that are going to pass by right out there, and all the ones that are going to come by on Tuesday night and Thursday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Let's live nativity. We go to a lot of trouble to do this. Why do we do it? So we can touch people with the good news that this community, all these people around, we can get to know them, have a conversation with them. Guys are going to be out there, Lamar and David, the guys, and we need help with that, with hot dogs and with French fries. We need baked goodies for those nights. So if you haven't thought about that, we need some stuff out there. We need help with costuming. Right now, we don't have a person to head that up. So if you'd like to head that up, please see me afterwards today. We need you, but more than anything else, we need you to be here, to rub shoulders with you. It's not about us. This is a ministry to other people that we give ourselves to. What can I do? Well, you can go out there and rub shoulders and introduce yourself to people and show them over to the goody table, or give them one of those Christmas coloring books that we've got. That tell the story. Anyway, we need you to be here. These of Christmas events are a great time of interaction with people, but we need the people. Let's be diligent about that this week, okay? Why don't you get on your email list? We sent you a flyer that John put together. You can take that to work with you and use it. And I just want to tell you that I love you. It's great to see my mother here. Praise the Lord. Her nickname is Bep, in case you ever hear one of us say that. Yeah, Megan? Okay. This is Megan. Like E.F. Hutton.
Okay, I know this is from God because I don't do this. A couple of years ago, I was in a really difficult situation at my job, and it was awful. Like, some mornings I didn't even want to get up to go to work. I mean, I would pray that I would be sick just so I didn't have to go to work. And, but the Lord told me to stay at my job, and He said, I'm going to get you through it, and you just need to stay there. I'm going to help you to get through this, and you just need to trust me. And, I know that a lot of people here are looking for jobs, or are maybe in a tough situation at your job, and you can't leave just because of what the job market is right now. And I guess I feel like I need to share this because it did get better at my job. And, you know, I trusted the Lord, and things are, I mean, it's a total turnaround. It's like a 180. It's a completely different situation at my job. And I have a wonderful boss now, and you know, just it's completely different. And, you know, he came through, So I felt like I needed to share that because, you know, I kept asking the Lord, you know, okay, what are you going to do here? Why am I having to go through this? You know, what's going on here? And, you know, he showed me in the end. You know, I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it happened. So you can't always see what's happening, but the Lord knows and he's in control. So just like I need to share that.
Thank you, baby. As Bethany's going to lead us in a prayer now, our kiddos are going to pass out cookies today to our immediate neighborhood here with a blessing from the Lord. So Bethany's going to lead us in a prayer over that group. No, you're going to make them come up here.
Okay, so all of you youth people will have to come up here. This is not one of them sitting down kind of churches. Lord, I just thank you for every life that's represented here, and I just want to make sure that they know how important they are to you, and that you picked them all out, and something that as simple as passing out cookies, you know, to the human eye doesn't seem like that big a deal, but it is, because I'm praying and asking for your Holy Spirit to touch each one of them right now. And just fill each one of them with your Holy Spirit. And I just pray that each of them will just feel that and just know that you're real and that this is a big deal to you, because they're about to go intersect a lot of lives. People that may have never heard of you before are going to hear today. And so I pray against fear for them. I just pray that they will look each person in the eye and just translate the message of love. You are love. And I just pray that the people receiving those bags of cookies are going to get that, that they are loved by somebody, that they are loved by you, that they will get that today, because the love is what changes people's lives and changes people's hearts. And I just pray that maybe that it will change the view of that each one of those people living so nearby will have of this church, that they will see your glory radiate from this place and your love, and know that they're welcome here. There was a reason when the announcement was made that this was going to happen with the cookies, that a cheer went up, and it's because of you. We know that we need to, you know, we go on mission trips far away, but we're missing the people right here that can see this church from their windows every morning when they wake up, and every morning when they leave their house to go where they go. And you speak for me that I want them to feel welcome here and to come here, because I know that your love is here and your presence is here, and that's what everybody in the world needs to know. And so just shield these youth, keep them safe. We just pray your protection over them and their families. And just, I just can't wait to see what you're going to do, Lord. I just thank you for these blessings. And after the cookie handing out is over, I just pray that your glory and your presence will go with each one of these young people back to their schools and their homes and their neighborhoods. And you'll show them what the next step is for them, because it's a lifelong walk with you. It's not just one assignment and you're done. And so I just pray for clear direction for them. And just that they will know that they're significant and loved, and that you do have a plan and a purpose for each of them every day of their life. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to get those cards from you if you filled out a card today. And if you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back and two baskets up here. Go in God's grace.